Hi, welcome to the Brown and Happy podcast. In our time together, I will share what it means to be brown and happy. For many of us, everything looks good on paper, but we're still not happy and living fulfilled lives. It's time to change this, and I can help. I'm your host, Dr. Payal Patel Gayal. Hello, lovely ladies. I have a treat for you guys today. I know I always do. It's always great. But I have a special guest, and we're going to shift a little bit for the next couple of episodes talking about wellness and more health-related topics, weight, image, taking care of ourselves. And so today I have my good friend, Dr. Priyanka Venugopal, who is an OBGYN and life and weight loss coach. And I'm going to let her explain all that to you. But you guys are not going to want to miss this episode. So I hope you're enjoying this on your drive. So Priyanka, please introduce yourself.
Hello. Oh, I am so excited to be sitting here and chatting with you, my good friend, Payal. I'm so, first of all, honored that you asked me to come onto this podcast. And I love talking about all things that serve women, wellness, empowerment. I want women to have a better life than maybe what you thought was possible. And I love talking about this topic. So I cannot wait. I am a board certified OBGYN turned mind and body health coach for high achieving working moms. If you are someone that identifies as someone that feels like, you know, you love getting the A pluses, you hate the B minus, I mean, even the occasional C, like you hate making mistakes, you hate failing, I promise you that relationship is getting in the way of you hitting your body goal. And so that's what I love doing now. I became a certified life and weight loss coach back in 2020. And then I went on to get an advanced certification in deep dive coaching. And I created the Unstoppable Mom Brain, which is my business and my brand. And clearly the name of it is my mission for women to become unstoppable in 2020 as well. And I transitioned from clinical practice as an OBGYN into full-time coaching at the end of 2021. So that's a little bit about me in a nutshell. And I cannot wait to chat with you, my good friend, Payal.
I forgot that we're deep dive sisters. Obviously,
oh, yes.
Well, because you encourage me. And I think part of like my work was like being willing to process emotion. And so if you guys don't know this, like when we go into the space of coaching, we usually enter it because we have been somewhere where we don't want to be, right? We're feeling something, we're unhappy in something in our life. And so we try to fix it, of course, you know, because as doctors, we want to fix all the things, you know, how do we fix it quickly? And when we process our emotions, and I think Priyanka will go into more about that in her own space too, but it's no longer scary. Mm-hmm. It's not this thing that you're going to want to run from anymore. Right. And this is kind of what I like to tap into. Like I have a baseline. I feel anxious, and Priyanka knows this because she's seen me do all the ugly cries. Like we're just good friends at this point. But I've been feeling anxious for the last couple of weeks, and I'm not making it like a problem. I'm just like, huh, that's interesting. What are the things that could be making you feel anxious? And also, can I just let it be? Right. And am I going to get to the other side of it? Yes. Am I going to die from it? No. So, yes, deep dive coaching has been a true gift for me and all my clients.
So I think that, you know, the thing that I love the most about deep dive and why I wanted you to do it is because we can coach on that, you know, the problem that we're in right now, but what I think is so much more impactful that at least I have found for myself and also for my clients is when we get to coach on what created the scenario to begin with. What were the things that you were believing about your partner, your job, your child, your life, your body, your weight, your food that has created the current results that you're sitting with? And I think that that's what deep dive has really opened up and why I think our clients are so fortunate that we have this additional set of skills and tools as coaches that I think when you get coaching on that, you start to, I like to obliterate problems. I feel like you get to obliterate so many more things because you're not coaching on every single problem you have right now. We get to the root of the issue, which is often creating a lot of the same problems. So, I mean, I can go on and on. I think deep dive is just so amazing. I'm so glad that we are deep dive sisters. I think our clients definitely get to benefit.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're saying that because for me, the way I think about it is like this, like instead of putting a band-aid on the problem, we're getting to the root of of all of it. And I think until now, all of us have just tried to put band-aids on things. And so, yes, we're both physicians and doesn't, you know, we, a lot of people that listen to our podcast are not physicians. So, but I just want to say like, we're used to being like hamster wheel kind of mentality. And I think as a woman, as a mother, that's happening in our personal lives constantly. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, this is something that you can do for you. So you're no longer caged that way.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think like also, you know, a lot, so I feel like there's a few different pieces of our identity. One is of course our cultural identity, right? Just like having parents that are immigrants from India, I think was a huge piece of my identity growing up. Being, you know, a first generation kid here where I remember I would like go to preschool. I didn't know English. Hindi was my first language actually. And I have so many visceral memories, like in my body, I really remember being 4 years old and going to preschool and being, you know, I mean, in my memory, the only Indian kid at, you know, in this, there might've been other kids, but I just don't remember them. I just have this memory of being really different and not speaking the language. And then along the way, also like learning things from not just my parents as kind of an Indian trying to grow up in this country, but also really trying to fit in to this country. I think that I didn't realize that that got folded into my identity as a child. I was just like, you know, trying to fit in, trying to get along. I didn't realize that that actually made me a little bit of a people, maybe a lot of it, of a people pleaser, someone that really loved external validation. And then of course, naturally being, I think also another infusion from my parents, a high achiever, loving the A pluses, the gold stars, wanting their nods of approval, wanting my teachers to like me, all of that got folded into my identity. And I think that that set us up, both of us, really well to go into a field like medicine, which is very prescriptive. It's very like you go A, B, C, D, and you're going to like follow the rules. We're such good rule. I mean, you and me, such good rule followers. Like it's been such a ninja skill for us to be really good rule followers. And I like to really think about that as something that was very adaptive for us at the time. And also being a really good rule follower and a people pleaser is also creating a lot of undesirable results in our life that now we're getting to explore and, you know, we're having to contend with. And I think we just understanding that this was a part of our identity growing up, but it doesn't have to be our identity forever. Where there's a way to challenge it. There's a way to let go of some of the parts that don't serve us anymore. And what would that be like? Imagine that you didn't have to people please everybody in your life. Imagine that you didn't need everybody's nod of approval to feel validated, to feel satisfied, to feel proud of yourself. I mean, to me, that is everything. It's everything. I mean, I think it's such an important topic.
So something that always comes up for me when we talk about this, that reminds me of where I was and where I am now is, I do remember exactly why I called Priyanka and I was like totally anxious, totally upset because I felt like someone didn't like me. Right. And I felt like I was being sidelined or whatever it was. Right. And, mind you, we have only met a couple times in person, but like, that doesn't even matter. Right. But like, I called her and something that she said to me, and this was like a couple years ago, was, Pyle, why do you put yourself in a blender? Mm-hmm. And that to me was very pivotal because now I had a visual of what I was doing to myself. Mm-hmm. And I have used that again and again with my clients. Like mm-hmm. we do this all the time, right? We put ourselves in this like really high standard. The expectations are super high, right? And it's not like anyone else is putting that on us at this point, right? Now it's all inside of us. And we do this to ourselves and then we're wondering why we're not happy, mm-hmm. right? We're not free. Free is a word that comes up a lot in my space. And, you know, like I know with my clients, it's like that whole, like, it just feels so stuck, right? Mm-hmm. The stuck is usually in our own minds.
Oh yeah. And, you know, I also think that the reason that we feel stuck is kind of just very parallel to us resisting our like uncomfortable emotions. Like, you know how you were saying you feel anxious. You've been feeling anxious for the last few days. Like I have had, it's like, you know, it comes in waves. Sometimes I feel really worried about my kid, especially my older son. Sometimes I feel really frustrated with parts of my life, parts, you know, annoyed with my husband. And I think that before coaching, I used to just be in it. Like, I want you to think like I was like in it. So I felt stuck in my frustration. I felt stuck in my worry. And my only strategy for that was what I kind of learned growing up was like, let's fix the problem so that I don't have to feel frustrated or worried or annoyed or irritated. And now it's not that I don't, you know, now we get to solve those problems as well. But the difference is I'm not resisting my frustrations anymore. I'm not resisting my worries. Now I'm like, oh yeah, this is the time that it feels really crappy. Oh yeah. I forgot. Like this was the time. This is the time that I feel really crappy. So good to remember that nothing's actually going wrong. And it's so crazy how just that one sentence, whenever I feel like, you know, down in the dumps, really, really feeling low about something, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the time that I feel anxious about this thing. Like, it's just so nice to not trying to force myself to rush out of it. It doesn't mean that we become complacent. And I think that this is a big thing, especially for working moms, for women, that we think that, oh, that's going to mean that you're just going to sit in your worry. You're going to sit in your anxiety. You're going to be complacent. No, actually, I think when you really validate yourself in those moments, like, oh yeah, this is the time that I'm feeling really worried and feeling stressed about something. Nothing is actually going wrong. This is just so normal. What ends up happening, I think, in our nervous systems and in our bodies is there's a calming effect to validating that nothing is actually going wrong. You're not unsafe. There's no lion outside the cave. There's no bear that's about to eat you. You are actually okay. Nothing's going wrong. You will level up your problem solving when you just take that one step. And I think that that is very, very, very effective in feeling more powerful no matter what life curveballs come your way. Because then you like learn the skill of being able to feel any emotion, embarrassment. I mean, really, I think you and me were talking offline before, like how I work with working moms that are identify as high achievers. You know how often high achieving working moms kind of shame themselves, feel embarrassed, feel like really, really alone in their mistakes and in their failures, specifically around weight loss. Weight loss is such a trigger topic for so many women. It's like, I feel so embarrassed. I'm not at my goal weight. I know this is a big one. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm just not doing it. And you feel like, how could I be a smart woman and not know how to handle this? So you just kind of judge yourself, shame yourself, embarrass yourself. And that is the piece that is so unnecessary. That's the part that's creating that stuck feeling.
Well, you know, anxious women do the exact same thing, right? Like everyone's like, I know what I should be doing. I know you taught me bile, like it's okay to take out a journal. It's okay to take a minute, right? And then they like, there's like that insult on injury, right? It's like, oh, I know I should be doing this. I'm not doing it. Therefore, this means that I am not a good person, not, you know, capable, not, you know, like the self-judgment is so heavy. So somehow it's like the initial thing that happened, we're not even that upset about anymore, but it's like, you feel so bad because of all like the self, like the negative talk.
Yeah.
That's happening inside. And you mentioned this, and I thought that was the anxiety thing and feeling anxious. Mm-hmm. As moms, the reason I know that, I think maybe I didn't talk about this last, maybe I will talk about next time, is like, I've been feeling so anxious because my kid's been struggling at school. Mm-hmm. And I know that you posted some stuff about how your kid's anxious too. And my kid's like that too. And literally I got coached on this last week. You weren't there. It was like,
yeah.
And I was like, I need to process this. And it was so helpful for me to see how when you see your child going down a path that is similar to yours, or maybe, you know, your partner's or whatever, like you become like hyper vigilant about mm-hmm. it. And I wonder how that happens in like weight loss too. Like, do you notice that with your clients, like thinking about their kids and their like habits and stuff?
You know, I think what I've noticed when it comes specifically to weight loss is a lot of women don't want to pass along this like diet brain, distorted relationship with food, which is kind of what they saw growing up. So a lot of us, when we were growing up, you would see maybe the, you know, maybe the older woman in your life was trying to lose weight. Like, I'm not allowed to, the things like, I'm not allowed to eat that. I'm not supposed to eat that. I shouldn't eat that. And like, that's annoying for children to hear that constantly. And I think that number one, it is annoying to hear as a child, but it also teaches you that there are certain foods that are good, certain foods that are bad. It creates a really distorted relationship with food. It creates this, like, you know, very, I don't know, it just feels really distorted. And not surprisingly, you know, we get into this really indulgent, restrictive cycle because we think that that's all we've ever seen. The only way to lose weight is for me to cut things out. No carbs, keto, juice cleanse, like no potatoes, like no French fries. I'm not allowed to eat those foods if I want to lose weight. And I think one of the biggest barriers for women when they come to work with me is like, oh, but I don't want my daughter to learn that. I don't want my son to learn that. So how can I lose weight in a way that teaches really an aligned value system? And I think that that's the beauty of really changing how you lose weight. If you want to come in with your calorie trackers and your point trackers and not allowed to eat this and not allowed to eat that, you can keep it. But I would be willing to bet that most of us don't want to pass that paradigm onto our children. We don't want our children to see us be like, I'm not allowed to eat 3 bites of that cake. We don't want that for them. So I think my work has really been in Unstoppable is, what if you never had to think about food as portioning out things? What if you never had to calculate how many portions of dinner you have to track from yesterday? What if that was like not even the strategy with which you lost weight? Mm. What if you simply were so aligned and in tune with your body's natural hunger and satiety? What if you actually just ate when you were hungry and learned how to stop when you weren't? What if you actually made small tweaks to your nutrition so that your body felt better? Like, what if that was all it really was? I would be willing to bet that your children will be so empowered to know that the way that they're eating can be a really powerful thing. It doesn't ever have to be distorted. I think that's a huge thing for us as moms to pass along.
You know, as an integrated pediatrician, this obviously is like speaking my language, right? Because we set the foundation very early. And what, as first generation immigrants, what we have perceived, and there's a lot of generational trauma, you know, around different topics, but of course, food image, right? That's like, we can talk about colorism here. We can talk about all kinds of stuff. Like, if we can go down that path, but there's so many things that have been passed down. And then now we have these kids, right? This new generation. And we're here making all these decisions and trying to do it right, which tends to be my kind of go-to thought that I struggle with. It's like, there's a right way, but we're trying to do it so we keep the stuff we love and then we shield away from the stuff that we no longer want to pass down as part of the legacy. And this form of overall wellness, right, within the family. And so we're talking about like eating, right, but also active lifestyle, right? So this is something I think I noticed you and me, like, we try to be in nature. Mm-hmm. Like, would I love to, you know, have like this ideal body or whatever it is, whatever that means, maybe, but what I would love more is to be out in the sun. Mm-hmm. Right. And if great day today, if I'm like, oh, I'm going to just put on my Hokas and get outside, I know automatically it's not just I'm getting exercise, but also it's everything that I take in through my senses. Yeah. And then we take our kids outside. Hey, ride your bike, play outside. My little guy's obsessed with gardening. I am, but he got really into it. And he spent like 2 hours outside on a school day trying to grow a mango tree. And he got the seed.
Oh my gosh. I need my kids to meet your kids. My son would be obsessed idea of a mango tree. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he's like three. He looked up a video and all the things. And so he's like created like a greenhouse inside the greenhouse that we have now. But like, I love that they're watching us and they're seeing the way that we think, the way we talk to ourselves, the way that we speak to other people, the way that we live our lives, right? Like, what a gift, right? That we can give to ourselves first, right? Because giving yourself a gift without it needing to be for anybody else is okay. Right? Because I do notice, like, oh, I'm going to do this work because, oh, I don't want my daughter or my son. But you know what? No, you don't want the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. You have to model it. It's like, otherwise, it's just lip service. I think also the other thing speaking to that is, you know, we sometimes have a really broad strokes idea of what wellness even is. Like, it's like, oh, I should wake up at 6 and maybe meditate for an hour and then maybe go on a long walk or a nature hike. Like, we have this kind of vague idea. And I think when we keep definitions vague, it's number one, really hard to know whether we're achieving it and what do we need to specifically do to get there. And then we just spin a lot in indecision. I think this is one of the things that I actually really help my clients with is let's define for you, what do you want to feel in your body? How do you want to be feeling? Let's define that. And I think when all of us do take a few moments to define what is wellness for me, maybe it's getting outside. Maybe it's getting more sleep. Maybe it's me feeling lighter in my gut. That was for me, like when I used to weigh, so a couple of years ago, for anyone that doesn't know me, I used to weigh a little over 200 pounds. And I remember more than the number on the scale, of course, I didn't love the number on the scale. I just was like not wanting to be in the 200s. I was like, somehow when that third digit flipped to the 2, I remember that was the moment my brain woke up. I was like, Priyanka, we have gained 60 pounds over 10 years. What? It's almost like something, you know, flashed in my mind in that moment. But I realized in addition to the number on the scale being down and my pant size, you know, I wanted my pant size to be smaller. I think what I really wanted was to feel a different way in my body. I wanted my gut to feel lighter. I wanted to like be able to sleep on my side and just feel so comfortable in my sleep. I wanted to have more energy. I wanted, at the time when I was probably at my heaviest, my son was 3 and a half, my daughter was 6 months. And I wanted to like run after them. You know, I think that it took me needing to define what wellness even was to then set up my framework, my strategy. Okay, how am I going to make this happen? What are the things that I'm going to do? What are the things I'm not going to do to create this as my reality? And then knowing there's going to be uncomfortable moments, which is kind of what we were talking about at the beginning. Oh, this is the time that I feel uncomfortable. Like, makes a lot of sense. Nothing's going wrong. Let's take action anyway. And I think that that's why coaching was so pivotal for me to lose the weight, because I had never learned those skills before. Like, we've learned all these other skills. I had not learned any of that.
Well, any time that I remember this, that we as children would show any signs of like discomfort, there would be someone who tried to sweep in and either try to fix it for us, or someone who would say, it's not a big deal. Don't make a big deal of it. You got this. Keep going, right? Work harder, you know, ignore it. Brush underneath the rug, whatever it is, right? So there's like these mixed things that we're hearing, right? Yeah. And now suddenly, and it's funny, I love coaching all these like really smart women, because every time I'm like, well, how does that make you feel? 9 out of 10 times they tell me what they think.
Oh yeah. It's so crazy.
It's like legit. Like, cool. Also, tell me how you feel now, right? Yeah. You know, and it's fascinating that we haven't even learned that vocabulary, right? It was probably, and so Priyanka is a little bit younger than me, but we laugh about this. But she is like a big sister in some ways. We talk about this, but it's almost like near the 40s. This is what I'm sensing, that we have this awakening, right? That do I want the next 4 decades to look like this? Right. And I don't know what you find in your clients, but I've noticed that like a lot of people at this time are like reflecting, and they've already built so much resentment towards different people, towards their career, their marriage, whatever, all the things. And nobody wants to resent the thing that they work so hard to build. Right.
Wow. I also think that, you know, there's a piece of this that is a little bit, you know, whenever I think about that moment that I got to, I would think I was like probably my late 30s. The scale was, you know, the third digits changed on the scale. The light bulb moment that I had wasn't just like, oh my gosh, Priyanka, how do we let this happen? I also realized how much I had been waiting for my life to get easier for me to do something about the problem. Mm-hmm. So in medical school, because I got married, I've been married for 15 years now. So a little bit, just before medical school, that was when I was at my lowest weight, because I did all the every calorie counting tracking app. I worked out 6 days a week. I ate oatmeal packets for breakfast. I got down to my lowest weight for my wedding. And then obviously the day after the wedding, I'm like, I'm not eating the 100 calorie oatmeal packets. Like, let's go back to real life. And I gained, you know, so I started gaining weight. And I remember the thought that started at that time was, when med school's over, then I will take care of myself. And then obviously then OBGYN residency, no joke. So then now we're in residency. I'm like, okay, when residency's over, then I will take care of myself. And then I had my son, fourth year residency. Okay, you know what? When he's a little bit older, then I'll take care of myself. Then now attending life. Listen, attending life is no joke. So now I'm like, okay, when I settle into attending life, then I have my daughter, right? So I had this perpetual thought. I used to believe when my life is easier, then I will take care of myself. Then I will solve this problem. Then I will. And the moment that I realized I had gained all this weight, I realized that I had been waiting for my life to get easier. And along the way, I created more problems. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think hard for me to see, that I had kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And I think that that's my mission now, to really show, I think, our people, that anyone that wants to change something in their life, whether it's a relationship or how they feel about work or their kids or their body, what if you learned how to hit your goals while living your real life? What if your life didn't have to get easier for you to feel better now, for you to get results? I mean, to me, that is so impactful. Like, life doesn't have to get easier. The biggest time that people gain the most weight is between Halloween and New Year's. What if, but one of the reasons that people look, like, you know what, maybe I'll wait. Let me wait until, 2024. Yeah. New Year's Day. Do you know how many people are going to wake up and be like, okay, this is the year I lose weight. I ask me how I know, because I did this every year forever. This is the year. Friends, what if you started losing weight right now? What if you started hitting your goal? Don't wait for January 2024. We have basically a quarter of the year left. We're in Q4. What if we got halfway to our goal? So you wake up on January 1st and you're like, guess what? Halfway to my goal. I'm already halfway there. Think about how good you would feel. But you have to stop saying, when this is over, then I will take care of myself. You have to start doing it now.
That is so good. Because I see that like everywhere, right? Like in our own lives, but also like people who come, you know, to work with me, you know, when my kids are older, and I've done that, a lot of that stuff. I also want to say, you don't have to wait. And also you don't have to destroy and burn everything down and start fresh. Right? Like, that's such a big deal to not have to burn everything down and start fresh. So just let that settle in, guys, because I think this is like a lot of amazing information that you guys are getting, and getting inspired, because I am definitely inspired by my friend, Priyanka. She is such a light, and she'll be embarrassed, but I'll say this, but like every time she walks in the room, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's like gliding. She's like so light. And I kind of was like, thinking, when I first met her, where I was wasn't where I am now. And the moment for me that was that 200-pound moment was very different. I was in Bora Bora. I was on this coaching retreat that I won initially, you know, and I was standing over the above ground bungalow, and I never thought that I would be in a beautiful place like this. Mm. And I looked out to the water, and I actually have a picture of it. I actually keep a picture of it on my phone here. Mm. I know that I showed that. And I looked at it and I was like, I want to be free. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be carrying this burden. I don't want to feel
heavy. Yes. It's this moment in Unipile. This is like kind of, I think, so many parallels why it's like around that age of 40, where it's like, wait, I have been working. I worked so hard for my whole life why did we go through like all of the things, medical school and residency, or like your flavor, like anyone that's listening, your flavor of hardship as a child. I think that it's like, I'm like, wait a second, I've worked so hard and is this it? Mm-hmm. I worked so hard and that was when I was like, wait a second, I've been waiting for my life to get easier, but like, this is it, guys. This right now, this is it.
You arrived.
This is it. I'm like, wait a second, hold on. Is this it? It's like, I have this like good on paper life, like a supportive partner and these two kids. And like, I love being an OBGYN. So like, I have this good on paper life, but like, I'm like, really, is this it? Because I'm not loving some things. And that was when I realized, like, oh, this is it. So now, like, let's take my life by the, like, let's take control of it.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because you're like, is this it? Right. I have a lot of people coming to me where it's the opposite. Like, they don't have the supportive partner. They don't have a good relationship with their parents. I coach a lot on like mom stuff, right? Like, all the heaviness happens. They don't like love being a parent, right? Like, there's so many things. They don't love their job. They don't love that they're not growing, you know? So there's room for everyone to change what they want, yes, right? So, like, I love that we could open this conversation. Like, I have some
plans. If you don't love something, like, get in there, yes, right? Like, mm-hmm, get in there. Don't wait for it to get better on its own. That's wishful. Mm-hmm. And I say this all the time. Hoping is not a strategy.
Yeah.
Hoping is not a strategy. Don't hope for things to get better. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes we're like, oh, but like, who am I to change things? Like, how can I do it? I promise you, you can.
Yeah.
Just know that it's possible to change. If you don't love some piece or multiple pieces of your life, get in there. Don't wait and hope that it'll get better on its own. Like, just be willing to get in there. Let it be messy. Don't wait for the fret. Listen, we all wait for, like, you know, January 1st or the Monday. It's only because our brains are hardwired for, like, fresh starts. This is, like, in a very high achiever thing. We want a blank slate. Let it be messy.
Mm-hmm.
Be messy. You don't need a fresh start. Just start now. One thing today. Like, what is one thing you would do today? Get in there, get messy, start taking action.
Okay. So, speaking of action, if you've been waiting, I'm going to talk about me first, and then I'm going to let Priyanka share her thing. And you're like, oh, I will book that consult with Bile when? This is your sign. You're going to book it today. And you're going to grab one of the few spots that are left for my private coaching program. We do one-on-one work. Mm-hmm. And now Priyanka is going to tell you about not waiting to get into her group. So go ahead.
Yeah. So I have a small intimate group. It's called the Unstoppable Group, specifically designed for working moms who want to lose weight without a calculator and feel calm and confident keeping it off in any scenario. And you can get all of the information for it over at www.theunstoppablemombrain.com/group. And if you miss the enrollment period, then don't worry. I have so many free resources for you. So I have a 5-day email course that you can grab over on my website. And of course, my podcast, which I really teach a lot of strategy on. I talk a lot about mindset. I talk about all the things that touch the working mom's life. I share a lot about my own journey and, like, mom life stuff, work life stuff, and how all of it will impact you hitting your goal, body goal, life goal. So come and check out the podcast, the Unstoppable Mom Brain Podcast. I think it's a good time.
It's always a good time. So I'm going to put all these, like, links and everything in the show notes. But if you have any questions, you guys know how to reach me. And if you guys want to be able to reach her, I'm going to make sure that that will happen. Thank you so much, Priyanka. We can probably do like a 5-part series. She'll probably be back and we'll talk about
it. We didn't even get into like all the, I had all this stuff about growing up Indian.
Yeah. You know, we'll talk about
this on that topic.
It might happen next week. Who knows? We'll figure it out. Okay, you guys have a lovely day. Thanks again, Priyanka. Please, 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 please follow her. Check her out. She's not only a good friend, but she's an amazing coach. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, if you're finally ready to start being happy, I invite you to join my list. This is where you'll have access to all my workshops, coaching, and pearls. Just head to my website, www.pailgahl.com, that's P-A-Y-A-L-G-H-A-Y-A-L, and join my list. I can't wait to meet you.